We've been talking about the first five books of the Bible. They are called the Law. And another name for them is the Pentateuch. So the Law or the Pentateuch. And let's go ahead and say that. Let's see if we can do it without. Okay, so we've got, how many books are they? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Excellent. So anybody remember the keyword for Genesis? Genesis. Beginnings, Exodus, excellent. Then we have, what book comes next? Okay, Leviticus, and that is? Holiness. Deuteronomy, not Deuteronomy yet. Numbers, journeys. And Deuteronomy is obedience. Let's say that a couple times together here. Genesis, beginnings, Exodus, redemption, Leviticus, holiness, Numbers, journeys, Deuteronomy, obedience. And as we go through reading the Bible, hopefully some of these things will help you. Instead of getting bogged down in the book of Leviticus, it reminds us that God is what? Holy. As you read through the book of Leviticus, look for God's holiness. One more time. Genesis, beginnings, Exodus, redemption, Leviticus, holiness, Numbers, journeys, Deuteronomy, obedience, and letting God continue to grow and change us. Then we get into Joshua, and we'll talk more about that, and maybe next week introduce the rest of those. On to our lesson. Genesis chapter 2 is where we've been. We've been looking at that and seeing the reality of God's creation. And the climax of God's creation is what? What is the climax of God's creation? Man, we are. Aren't you thankful? Man, God has made us special creatures, but we were not made like any other creature. We are not animals. You will often hear that on science shows today. We are the highest of the animal kingdom. No, we aren't. We are not animals. We were made in the image of God. A dog is not made in the image of God. And so we indeed are the climax of God's creation. As we've talked about that, we talked about some of the different qualities that God has given us. Some of the personal qualities. Remember, He's given us a brain. We have the intellect. We have the emotions that we need to let God control, but that we need to use. By the way, I do think it's very important for us to use the emotions God has given us. Some, we just lock it all in. You ever seen someone who just holds all their emotion in? Any emotion. They can't show love. They can't show anger. They can't show the sinful side of their emotions, but they don't show the godly side either. And I believe God wants us to show that godly side, even as men sometimes to cry. It's okay. We think, oh man, men can't do that. Well, I think it's important at times for us to do that. And so we've got to use those emotions God has given us. God has made us with a will that we can choose right and wrong. And thus we get into that second aspect, not just the personal aspect, but the moral aspect that we can judge between good and evil and that we are responsible to obey God. He's given us that spiritual aspect. Remember, it's not just that complex communication with each other like dolphins can do or like lions can do. Talk about complex communication. We have that spiritual relationship with God. We can communicate with God. And He with us. I mean, that is incredible. We were made in the image of God with spiritual life, with fellowship with God. And then we see the reality that man has a special place. Man has a special place on earth. Psalm 8, verse 5. Let me read that real quick. Psalm 8, if you want to turn there. But Psalm 8, verse 5, we see there is a special place that God has put us. Don't you love it when you turn in your Bible, you put your thumb just to the left of the book and you keep flipping backwards trying to find where you are. Psalm 8, verse number 5. For Thou hast made Him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned Him with glory and honor. We are not angels. Angels are the messengers of God who are with God. But we are a little lower than, but we are crowned, like He said. And verse 5, crowned with glory and honor. God has a special place for us as human beings. One, He's already made this place of earth that we get to live and dwell. But He does have a special place for us. He's allowed us and given us dominion over creation. What does dominion mean? What does dominion mean? Control. He's given us control over creation. Lordship. When you think of lordship, man, I think of the vassals and the kings and the knights and all that day and age back in yesterday or whatever you call it of England. And you see the lords of the land. They had control over that section and over the people and over the taxation of their property. And yet, they had responsibilities that they were supposed to take care of the people that were on their land. The reality is God has given us lordship over creation. Do we need to take care of creation? Should we throw litter on the ground? I remember the old McDonald's and other fast food cups when I was a kid. Put litter in its place. I thought litter was what you found on the ground. So do we throw it on the ground? That's where I don't know. Anyway, we do have responsibilities to take care of this earth. But God has given us dominion over the earth. And so as much as we need to save the whales, we need to save babies more. As much as we need to take care of this earth and, oh man, we don't want to deplete the ozone. I don't think we will. But as much as we do have responsibilities to be careful and wise because God has made us stewards, right? Yet part of that stewardship is to use it. God has given us creation to use. So one of the things I'm looking forward to doing next winter, Pastor Bob, I just told you today, I'm looking forward to doing what? And so what does that mean? We cut down what? And I hug them all the way to my fireplace. And man, it's exciting. I'm a tree hugger, so long as it's dead and in my arms. But the reality is we do have dominion. God wants us to take care of ourselves. As much as we do have to take care of creation, He wants us to take care of ourselves. And He has given stuff for us to use. Again, wisely, we don't want to destroy what God has given us. Well, man, God's given me authority as a human being, so we just throw all our trash in the ground because I can do what I want. No, wait a second. This earth is whose? God's and all that is therein. But yet we have that lordship, that dominion that God wants us to have. Again, that special place. We can use earth and its resources to serve God. We can and we should. We can serve God with that. But the reality is it's got to be all about God, not all about me. How am I going to glorify God doing this means or what I'm going to do? And so with that, there comes privileges, right? These are privileges that we get. We get to use planet Earth to glorify God. What are some of the privileges that we get to use on planet Earth to glorify God? Okay, so go to church. So in order for us in the United States of America today to go to church, what's one of the privileges that we have of getting to church? We're talking going. Okay, so cars, heating, I mean, gasoline. We don't have to ride in an old cold buggy. And so people say, well, man, don't use all the gas. Well, has God given that to us as a privilege? Yes. Ultimately, for whose glory? God's. Now, don't just go into your garage and roll your windows down in your vehicle and turn it on and try to heat your garage with it. I mean, that's ridiculous. But the reality is God has given us privileges on earth. What are some other privileges that we have in order to serve God with them? I already mentioned one, trees. Man, I look forward to cutting down and burning some wood. I love wood heat. What's that?
Fresh water.
Fresh water. What a privilege. Now, in the same regard, man, we get to use it and use it and use it. But if we were in California or in some of these other places, we've got to be careful of it. Now, right now, here in Michigan, man, we don't really have to be careful. I mean, 20-minute showers, right? You know what I'm talking about. And Ashton's like, yep, that's me. Man, blessings that we have from these things. We have privileges, and yet with those privileges do come responsibilities that we're faithful and careful. What are some of the privileges Adam had? Going back to Adam, what do we see some privileges that he had in the garden? Remember, he had that special place. Got to eat the fruits of his labors. He did. What a blessing. And yet, did he have responsibilities? Yeah. He named the animals. He had that responsibility, and yet it was a privilege that he could do that. that he could, if you will, have a relationship with animals, but it wasn't the relationship he needed. God knew he needed another one, and that was a help meet for him. And so that's where we see in chapter 2, really how God created woman out of his rib, and just incredible how God did all that. But there were privileges and responsibilities. Man should take care of the earth. Again, we have the privileges of using it, the water, the gasoline, the trees, think of other fuels or whatnot, but yet we have responsibilities to take care of it and to be wise with it. We should promote peace by upholding God's principles. Adam and Eve, did they always uphold God's principles? When didn't they? Yeah. They had the privileges of eating the fruit of their labor, but God said, don't eat from that tree. They did it anyway. Wonder what's going to happen. Wonder how sweet that's going to be. Wow, I wonder what it's going to taste like. And they had the privileges, but they didn't want to bear the responsibilities with it in that aspect. And so we've got privileges God's given us, and we've got to uphold God's principles. That's one of the responsibilities that we have. Again, as stewards, wise stewards, taking care of the earth that God has allowed us to use. So then we see that God made a help meet for Adam. We're in chapter 2. We've read through last week, I think we were reading verse 17 with that principle that God had said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. What's that last phrase? Read that last phrase out loud for me. But what? He went through all of these animals. Man, some of you are thankful for your dogs and cats, aren't you? Joanne, man, you love your cat. And man, she's your little baby. But there's nothing like a human relationship, is there? And God knew that Adam needed more than just an animal. Again, it's a reminder, we are not just another animal of this kingdom. People argue, well, we are the highest of the animal kingdom. No, look at that. God had him go through and name all the animals. One, he had responsibility over them, but he named them, and there wasn't that help meet found for him in amongst the animals. And so here we're reminded this incredible thing that God made Adam a wife. Talk about incredible. You know, as I was praying for a wife, God, who do you want me to marry? He made it very evident that it was Karen. Here's Adam, no one else on earth, and God makes him a wife. I mean, incredible. But who does Adam turn around and blame in the next chapter for the wife? He blames God for that wife you gave me and she caused me to sin. Wait a second. Again, seeing the personal responsibilities of upholding God's principles. He had responsibilities with the privileges that he had. God made him a helpmeet. The idea here is they were to cleave together. We look through that, verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of those ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Talk about surgery. I mean, God could have just miraculously, and out came the rib. Right? I mean, God can do anything. But look what he does. Again, we see God's handiwork. Men, we need to be thankful for our wives. He says, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Right, man? He was excited. He had a relationship with someone his equal. Yes, that God had given him dominion, not in the sense of dominion over like the animals, but the headship, the leadership. As the husband, but yet an equal that he could have a relationship with. Not just talking to a dog who will always be his best friend and agree with everything he says. Right? Dogs are good friends because they'll never tell a lie. They'll never tell what you told them. But man, there's something about that interpersonal relationship with a husband and a wife. And if you're married today, man, I just want to encourage you with your spouse. Continue to praise God for the spouse that He's giving you. Praise God. And yet pray that you will be that husband and wife, because look at what happens here. Verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his what? Wife. And they shall be one flesh. This is the only time when this is not, what is it, eubonics, mathematics, where 1 + 1 equals anything you want it to. 1 + 1 in this case equals 1. And the reality that, man, there is that tight relationship as a husband and wife, unlike any other relationship. Adam and Eve did not have a father or a mother, did they? No, but it's very plain here in the principle that we are to leave father and mother. By the way, who wrote Genesis? Who penned it down? Moses did. So this was years later. And did Moses have a father and a mother? Oh, of course. And we know through that. But the reality that God had him pin this down in the very beginning historical account of creation, they were to cleave or literally be glued together like plywood. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Rob, what happens when you're tearing apart to remodel a new room and you've got some plywood that is nailed on something and glued to another piece of wood?
I had this situation arise not too long ago, and everything was glued together and screwed and nailed, and I had to have it come apart very nicely. It takes a long time, and the lengthy process is difficult.
And that is what God wants to do with us as husbands and wives. Be stuck that much that it won't come apart, but that if it does, it's never the same. Some of you know what I'm talking about. There have been tough things, and yet aren't you thankful for God's forgiveness? Maybe you've experienced divorce, and aren't you thankful for the forgiveness of God, and yet the relationship that we can have with that? But man, that is the relationship as husbands and wives we can have, that I don't know what I would do if my spouse died. Now, Karen and I have only been married 13 almost 14 years. Like, when I stop to think about what would happen if she died, I don't know. Like, it's just a weird feeling. And that's how it should be. I often think, how would life go on without Karen? I think the kids and I would sit in the living room and cry. And I don't know. I can't think of anything else. That's it. That's how it should be with our spouses, because God made it that way. This is not just like the animal kingdom. Josiah loves watching these big cat movies, and I think I've talked to you guys about that. It's interesting, and he doesn't catch on to everything in these short little clips. But sometimes they'll talk about the offspring that they're having, or this mother cheetah, and she has, you know, her little, whatever they call it, cubs or whatever. And here she's off by herself raising these kids. Now, Josiah doesn't see that in our home, and granted, there are some homes like that where the mom is off raising kids by herself because the dad has gone away or whatever. But the reality is, man, this marriage is something incredible and special that God has made to go through, yes, that child rearing, but go through the rest of that process. This is the beginning of marriage. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Where is my family from? Okay. But Muskegon is not my home. Wherever Karen is my home. And wherever I am is her home. Her family's from Muskegon. That's what a marriage needs to be. And many of you have experienced that. You've had to leave family. For years we were in Muskegon, but yet we were separate. There we see the beginning of marriage. And then verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Again, that marriage relationship, something special only in marriage. So, as we think about the beginning of man, we remember you are special. You may struggle with that. You are what? Let's say that. I am? Why? Because of me? Because I've been made in God's image. God loves you. And the last truth I think we need to pause and remember, evolution is a what? Lie. It's all of God. And life happened in the beginning. You and I were made in God's image. Let's praise Him. Father, we thank You for Your love. I pray that You would help us tonight to honor and glorify You. Thank You that we're special because we're made in Your image. Help us to live that way. Even as we've been challenged, those of us in here who are married, God, help us to live with our spouse as you've called us to, because we're made in your image, not like any other animal. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. How did that van drive?
Great.
How did the pools like it?
All the kids were calling me.
I think there's a first room with the kids around here.